Welcome to Laying the Groundwork, a Layton Construction podcast. I am your host, Forrest Cole. This is Daniel Condre, Senior Project Manager for Layton.
That was one thing I learned from my dad at an early age, was that work ethic and get the job done, get it done right.
I was super excited to speak with the Condre brothers because they've been in construction since they were young boys, working alongside their father, building many iconic parts of Southern California. I also love how their family construction story resembles that of Layton Construction. This is David, Senior Superintendent.
Here at Layton Construction, I feel like we are part of a family and we're working for a family, no different than what we grew up with, working for my dad.
As you can see, their family history, like Layton's, is built upon working with integrity. So please lay back and enjoy this episode.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today. First, I'd like to talk about, I know that construction is very deep in your family history. I know that your grandfather was in construction. I know that your father was in construction, and I know that you both worked with your father. And I know that your father worked on some really cool projects here in California. And I wonder if you could share some stories about your time working with your dad. And
I'll start here.
Sure. My dad was born in Colorado. And my grandpa was a general contractor back in Colorado. He had his own construction business, welding company back there. And then my dad, he was a general contractor, worked in San Fernando Valley, Southern California area, doing, you know, various jobs and everything else.
Second generation in construction and in Southern California, and, you know, third in the family. Our father, well, we had the privilege of growing up with him and on the job sites too. Both Dave and I had the same upbringing where as a early age, rather than, you know, on Christmas break and Easter break and summer break, rather than goof around too much, we'd go to work with her dad and got a chance to see a lot of things at a young age, maybe more than some people see in their whole careers. Some of the projects, you know, early on, well, one of the first ones that my dad did was up at the Magic Mountain. He was working on Colossus up there, which was an interesting project in and of itself. And there was a number of projects he did at Magic Mountain. Some of them are still there today. Some of them have been replaced with other rides and attractions. And a lot of the fun projects he did, we got to experience at early age too. Knott's Berry Farm, Camp Snoopy, Indian Trails, ton of projects up at Universal Studios. Yeah, so we got to see a lot of interesting things, not only in the amusement parks, but a lot of different projects that were really unique. And at an early age, and Dave and I got to experience a lot of that together with her dad and separately with her dad too. Yeah. So it was quite interesting, a lot of fun. Got to see a lot of things that he could pull a project together that was behind the eight ball, step into it and make it happen and turn the schedule around and get it done. So a lot of things that people say couldn't be done, he did.
How many years difference between the two of you?
Five.
Yeah. Dave, you're older?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. And so how old were you when you first started working with your dad?
I was about 12 when I started. And he used to take me out every summer, keep us out of trouble, take us to work, you know. So I'd be a haughty, hauling lumber in for what was going on. He'd put me to work sweeping, whatever had to get done as a laborer. I was doing it, you know.
Yeah. Was that typical at the time to have young men such as yourself out working on the job, or were you sort of, was that unique?
I didn't see many other, you know, kids my age on the job site. It was mostly all adults, you know, journeymen, mm-hmm. carpenters and stuff like that. Utilize us as laborers at the time.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I was getting paid either. So sure, it was like more of an internship, or, yeah, you know, free free internship.
Yeah.
And I got benefited much the same, too.
Sure.
In fact, I'd help out and help the project engineers on the job write RFIs and go chase down the information. And like Dave said, they push in a room. In fact, the first paycheck I got, the owner of the company came out there and seen me out there pushing a broom on the job site. And Greg told my dad, he said, Jerry, if you're going to have your son on the job site working, put him on the payroll so he's covered under the insurance. And that was my first paycheck. So it was appreciative and worked like crazy over there to get done with whatever needed to be done. But also we had a lot of fun too. So
sure.
The amusement parks over there, when I was up there with my dad, long about the time, up Magic Mountain up there when the park opened, he'd look at me and tell me, it's time for your coffee break. And I looked at him kind of puzzled the first time. He says, well, hey, the park's open up. Why don't you go see if you can sneak out of line for one of the roller coasters, go ride them and come back when you're done. So I snuck over there, and before any of the crowds were on, I was able to jump on Colossus, ride the front seat. And about three runs through, the guys over there finally told me, hey, we got somebody in line, so you'll have to jump out and take another seat. Give them an opportunity to take the front seat. When my break time was up, I hustled back to the job site, and he said, did you enjoy your coffee break? Get back to work.
That's amazing. Yeah, I remember. We talked about this before. I mean, Colossus, knowing this story about how, I mean, Dave, you worked on Colossus. Is that correct, right? You worked on it with your dad?
I was basically doing creosote on some of the wood boards over there.
Mm. Yeah. And so for me, I'm younger than you, and, you know, maybe not that much younger, but I'm younger than you guys. And I remember, it was the largest wood roller coaster of its kind at the time. Is that correct?
Yep.
I'm thinking that. Yep. I remember going when I was probably about 8 years old. This was probably in the early 80s. And I remember they had these big buttons that said, I rode Colossus.
Right.
And I think I was just old enough to ride the rides. You know, when you're young, you like wait till you're, can just get past that line, you know? And my parents were like, well, you can't have a button unless you ride the ride. And I was terrified, of course, you know? But I did it. I rode the ride. And, when I was done, I wanted to be just like you, Dan. I wanted to just keep going and ride it and ride it and ride it. And I think my mom probably still has that button somewhere. But, you know, thinking about, you know, as that ride is important to my childhood, and I can only imagine how important that is to you guys, right? And that idea, like, that you guys worked on it with your father. But also, these amusement parks, these rides are such an integral part of kind of Southern California, right? You talk about Magic Mountain, Knott's Berry Farm, some of these other places. Like, what is that like to sort of have that, like, to be a part of that, right? To be a part of that, like, that specialness, you know?
Yeah. Well,
the projects that not only I worked on, but worked on with my father, too, I just think of those as pure fun. They're just a joy to build, and it was fun to do it. And you're thinking out of the box, like Indian trails. When my dad did that, Dave was out there and I was out there too. The design team was on site and they'd sketched something up on an 8.5 by 11 and hand it over to us and say, go build it. So we'd have to go get the material and build it on site on a lot of different things out there on the site. There was other things that were designed and procured ahead of time that they shipped in, like all the hand-honed cedar from Oregon for the lodge, the Mystic Lodge and Canoe House. But there was a lot of things that were just on the fly. And I think back, it was interesting, the weekends over there that my dad had all the superintendents from the company out on the job site on the weekends, helping them out because it's a fast-paced job that had to be opened up quickly. And there's one that stands out in my mind, Mike. He'd come out there and ask my dad, he says, okay, what do you want me to do, Jerry? He says, well, hands him an 8.5 by 11 sketch and a chainsaw. He says, there's a lodge pole over there. You're making the totem pole. So the totem poles that are out there in the front, Mike did. He carved all those with a chainsaw based on an 8.5 by 11 sketch of what they wanted. And every time I come by Mike out there when he was working on it, he just looked like a kid in a candy store having fun. And this guy's a superintendent that had been a superintendent for, you know, a decade out there, but he's on my dad's job site just having fun.
It was artistic. That's why.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun. You know, like a, and how wild, right? That on a sketch off an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, you know,
yeah. Like
that's unheard. That'd be unheard of today, right?
It was like a water heater. We had a water heater for the Judge Roy Beans courthouse. We had to relocate it from another part of the park and put it into a different part of the park and then move the whole entire building. And it had a water heater in the corner for the sarsaparilla stand, and they had to make it go away. So we had to build barrels and out of wood and try to fabricate a half barrel to cover up the water heater assembly, like a stacked barrel assembly there. So that was kind of cool.
So that's a project you also worked on that with your dad.
He was
a superintendent.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a carpenter over there. So.
Yeah.
Oh, so cool. What other projects did you work on with your dad?
Ninja.
We had, yeah, Ninja roller coaster. That was 187 pile caps with 65 to 80 foot deep caissons, 4 foot diameter, 5 foot diameter. And then the ride was just, it was going up the side of a hillside type of situation. So there's varying degrees of your columns that hold up the ride. It's basically a stand up roller coaster assembly. Did that one. It was built around the existing rides and everything that was around the park. And then we had Universal Studios. I did a bunch of work over there on that one. It was we did the front entry, main entry to the thing. If you go up to Universal now, if you come up Lancashire Boulevard up to the front entry, there's a parking garage. We worked on the parking garage. We did the front ticket booths area, and enters the Universal. That's where you get your tickets at. And then there used to be a Tony Ramos on one side and a Victoria Station on the other side. We took both of those out, and then there's a waterfall we put in there. It's got a glass block fountain on it, and it's got a set of stairs that goes up the one side and a handicap ramp on the other side. We built all that, and if you go there now, you'll still see the fountain. Mm. It says Universal Studios on it. Mm-hmm. It's on all their pictures. Whenever they do anything on TV, you'll see that thing. That's the front entry.
Yeah,
I built all that. I helped finish the concrete on that. I put in the brass rear channel that's in the front of the fountain, so it actually sheds water off the front of it. Cool. Yeah, so it's kind of cool, you know, actually seeing that every time my kids point out, "Hey, Dad, there's your fountain." You know,
that's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, it must be.
Yeah, the cast in place walls over there. Dave was working with one carpenter, and that was my first experience too. Working with a different journeyman carpenter over there separately, and we were working on the walls, but my dad was always one to push the envelope of the schedule. So those walls were being put together, the forms buttoned up, and the rebar finishing the same day he wanted to pour, because he'd get same day inspection. So he started pouring on one side of that radius wall while the other side was still getting buttoned up.
We got to get that thing open so fast for Universal, because they wanted a certain day to get grand opening on it. We didn't get the handrails for the, they called it the canyon, remember that handicap ramp?
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't have the handrails fabricated in time, so we ended up having to build everything out of PVC piping and use...
Fow it in, paint it, yeah.
And it passed, the building inspector said it was okay, but it was all PVC pipe.
PVC pipe and then galvanized receivers that were lagged into the wall. Then once the permanent handrail came in, that had to be removed off, but they wanted to sandblast the wall. So I was out there on a night shift running the sandblasters.
Did the amusement parks often have like quick timetables?
Yes. Always. Yeah, it's all drop dead dates you had to hit no matter what.
Yeah.
So if you couldn't hit it, you have to figure out a way to hit it.
Wow.
The one of the last projects I got the privilege of working with my dad on was Universal Studios Backlot Tram. And started on the project separately without him. And we got in there. The project itself was built as the operations building for the backlot tram. And it sat over the existing landfill. So it was basically a building on stilts. It sat on 26 caissons that went 114 feet in the ground through the landfill section with a connecting bridge that tied into a project that my dad had worked on right off of Back to the Future up there on the top deck. Mm. But it thread the needle with the bridge through the oak trees that were on the hillside. After we poured the caissons and all the grade beams in there, they figured out our layout for the bridge abutment on the far side encroached in the drip line of the oak trees. So they had us rotate the building. And mind you, we already had the anchor bolts for the building already set in concrete, literally. So they rotated it 3 degrees, which meant we had to go modify all the steel. We went back and figured out that, you know, what the impact was and the delay, and came back to MCA Universal and said it's about 3 month impact, we figure, you know, to get all this field modified out here for all the steel, because the steel was all shop fabricated and landed on the job, and we had to modify it all in the field at the time. And MCA looked at us, Universal said, grand opening's already published. We can't push the date. You need to figure out a way to accelerate it. Go figure out your acceleration plan. So part of the acceleration plan was we brought my dad in on the job site as the acceleration superintendent, which was just fun from my standpoint, because I got to see from his mindset how to take a job and push it to the envelope to make it happen quickly and do it done right. So that was one of the last ones I got to build with him, and just, it was a fun experience.
So it goes without saying that your father was very influential in your lives, you know, but what were some of the values that your father taught you in construction?
Brings me to a story. We were doing he was doing a job over there. It was I forget what kind of store it was. It was during Thanksgiving.
Circuit City.
Well, Circuit City, but it was a previous
group. Akron.
Akron, yeah. Anyway, he was doing that job, and they had tore off half the roof over there for a replacement of the RTUs up on the roof. And they had the roofing removed, and there was adjacent stores that were actually protruded into the store, and they couldn't get damaged because they were owned by somebody else. And this was on the weekend of Thanksgiving. A big rainstorm came in. He didn't have anybody that would show up to the job to help him. None of the laborers or anybody else would show up. And he asked us if we'd give him a hand at the job site tarping the roof. So we went up there. It was a Wednesday night, I believe. And we had to get up on the roof and flashlights and tarp all of the existing RTUs. There's open holes. We're trying to walk around in the dark and put Henry's tar all over this stuff to try to mitigate water coming into the building. And we stayed there all night long with shop vacs and sucking up water that was coming in, fixing the tarps that were on the roof that were blowing off and soaking wet in the rain. It was cold. And we stayed right on through until Thanksgiving Day, until the storm passed. And we ended up saving the other stores from getting water intrusion into them. We saved a lot of the project from getting destroyed. And we made it through.
Let me back up for a minute. It was Thanksgiving. And we were sitting down to dinner when it started raining. And the three of us got up from the dinner table and went to the job. And we were there through the weekend. So, David, gone home for a few hours over there too. He came back in to relieve me as we were rotating through, but we were there not only tarping, but the loading dock wasn't set up with the pumps yet, hadn't replaced them yet. So loading dock, we had temporary pumps in. And then on the inside, we were making sure that we had shop vac to capture any water that would manage to get through anything that we were doing, that storm. So we were there throughout the night and through the weekend, all three of us working through. In fact, Dave came in with donuts afterwards and coffee after he'd had a chance to go home for a few minutes to get some sleep in between. Mm-hmm. But we were there throughout the weekend working.
What that taught us. Dedication.
Yeah.
What that taught us was, I mean, perseverance and you don't give up and you can keep going and things will work out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was no give up or like throw up your hands and walk away. You just stayed until you conquered or get it done, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever it takes to get it done.
And the ownership of, you know, making sure the job was taken care of.
Sure.
Even on a holiday like Thanksgiving over there when you're away from the job. Hey, if the weather's going to threaten the job, we were there to address it and make sure it didn't. He'd pushed the interior finishes. He already had finished displays, drywall, paint done on the interior of the building. And those the equipment that was on the roof that hadn't been changed out in the roof patch, it was falling behind schedule over there. So he had to do what he could to mitigate it.
Wow.
And still meet the schedule. So that was actually in Granada Hills, actually, where it was at. And then I can think of another story, too. As kids, we did an addition to three sides of our family home. Mm-hmm. And as we were going through, we tore off the entire shake shingle roof on the house, upgraded the rafters to a handle tile. And when we were going back sheeting, Dave and I, our dad turned us loose with a box of six sinkers, start sheeting the roof up there and nailing it by hand. So we spent the day nailing off as many sheets as we could, and, you know, nailing off six on the perimeter and 12 in the field. And he made sure that we understood what we're expected to do for the nailing. We got quite a bit of sheeting down. I can't remember the amount of sheets, but we did like maybe a fraction of the back roof section over there, got it sheeted. When my dad came home that night, he came up there on the roof and inspected it, looked at what we did, pointed out a few areas where we need to add a few nails where we got a little more than 6 inches. By the time we got done with him looking at it and inspecting it, he said, okay, now go down in the garage. There's a compressor and a nail gun. Go get that out and I'll show you how to use it for tomorrow. So we got to learn the value of how to do it by hand.
Sure.
And then the value of how to do it
easier,
right?
And that same addition, he had added on, doubled the size of the master bedroom. He had us frame it up, and Dave was doing most of the cuts on it. He had us frame it up as a gabled end on it. We got it all framed up and done. When he came home that night and he inspected, looked at it, he said, good job. You guys did great. Now, Terry Bart, I want to hit him valley. So we learned a lot about just on our own addition to the house over there, a lot of different techniques, a lot of different things to do, and, you know, the value of doing it right.
How old were you when you guys were doing this?
Oh, gosh.
Beginning high school, I think.
You were beginning high school and I was in middle school.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of trust.
Yeah.
To put in to the both of you. I mean, obviously you guys were already working in construction. Yeah. I mean, my dad's a carpenter and I remember working with him. We were doing some framing and I was new to the work and, you know, we were doing some framing and we were doing it by hand. And I was hitting some nails and some of the nails would go in crooked and I would just bang them into the wood. And my dad saw what I was doing and he came over and was nice about it, but came over and was like, you know, what are you doing? Like, why are you banging them into the wood? And I was like, you know, cocky late teenager, no one's going to see it. It doesn't matter. And he was like, you know, he taught me a valuable lesson that day. It doesn't matter. You have to take pride in your work. You have to have integrity. You know, you have to think about the quality of everything that you're you're doing, you know, and that I always think about that. That was a very valuable lesson for me whenever I think about anything in life, right? You know, and it sounds like you guys had some very valuable lessons of the same kind of thing. So one question that came to mind when you guys were telling this story, and this may be sort of out there a little bit, but why did you stay in construction? I could see where like some sons would not want to do anything with construction, right? If their father was like doing, do you know what I'm saying? Like some sons would be like, I don't want anything to do with construction anymore. My dad has driven me to do this and that. I'm going to go do this. Like, what was it about construction and that,
like, kept you going? I mean, I like the challenge of taking raw material and building something with it and then getting it done in a certain amount of time, mm-hmm. achieving the unachievable or the impossible task. You know? So that's why I stayed into it. I liked it. Mm-hmm. It's always been fun for me. But just like the Dunn Edwards job I'm on right now with Layton. Well, there's, I mean, here you got to build a building and get a 1031 exchange with the IRS tax, build X amount of dollar value into it in 180 days. And the plans are barely finished. And they're still changing them on the fly as you're going. And we can't get the, because we got the COVID, we still have ships off the coast that we can't get the material onto the site. Yeah, it's a challenge. It's fun. Mm-hmm. We just achieved that goal today, as a matter of fact. Mm. It was, I think we were supposed to have about 7.5 million of work in place, and we had 9.3 as of today.
Incredible.
So we made that goal happen. Next one is the TCO on the building. That'll be our next goal, which I have to achieve by July 20th.
Great.
For me, it was a little different. My dad always told me, do what you want to do. Do something you enjoy. You know, don't do something, he told me point blank, don't go into construction unless you want to. Do what you enjoy and do what you want to do. When I was initially going through after my degree, it was after real estate finance degree. Hmm. And I was thinking about a different career path. Ultimately, I ended up choosing to go into construction on the management side. I just found that I enjoyed building too much and always enjoyed it. You know, not only working with my dad, but also, you know, the fact that when we were growing up, we also worked out of the construction yard. Dave had the opportunity to work for a while and I did too. So not only did we get to experience my dad's jobs, we got to experience other jobs too. When we were working in the construction yard, we actually went out to different job sites and different things. I was doing that while I was in college, going through after my AA degree. They'd have me take a company truck to the college, and I'd take my classes in the morning and in the afternoon go do job runs. And sometimes I found myself where I arrived on a job site and other superintendents knew who I was and they would commandeer me. So I'd find myself in the middle of a concrete pour in the afternoon. Morning doing classes, and then the afternoon mm-hmm. I'm sitting there on a job site helping out with a concrete pour. So I just got a thrill out of building and being a part of building, and then afterwards seeing things that I had a part of mm-hmm. and putting together and just the joy of it. And then later on, you know, with my wife and kids, being able to drive around and see different things that we did, and even like the amusement parks, the kids got to see things that I worked on or my dad worked on or Dave worked on. And it's funny, I sitting there in the queue line one time, there were some kids in front of us that started graffitiing on handrails. And it just happened to be one of the rides that we worked on. And my wife and kids started pointing out to the kids, don't graffiti on that. Grandpa worked on that. Mm. So takes a little different level of ownership, but it's just neat to see it afterwards too, and what we had a part of.
I mean, I think that's a great way to sort of, I would love to talk about two specific projects that stuck out to me. And Dan, the one is the boulder at LACMA.
Oh, Levitated Mass.
Levitated Mass. I wonder if you could talk about, that's That seems like a unique project to me. I wonder if you could talk about that.
When the boulder was moved from the rock quarry, the route that was finally approved by all the municipalities took it through Southern California. So it actually went on tour and got to be quite a thing in Southern California when that was traveling. When we got it to the site over there at LACMA, set up a gantry crane to offload it and move it over to into position over the wall that was built. Basically, it was a walkway, allow you to walk underneath the boulder. Leading up to the time prior to the rock arriving on site, we worked with LACMA to develop concealing fasteners. The city required, for seismic requirements, bolts to be embedded and epoxied into the boulder for seismic restraint. LACMA wanted the bolts to be, the nuts, to be concealed within the plates, the ledger plates. So we worked up a design and mock-ups for concealing those bolts, the nuts. So if you look at the plate underneath, you wouldn't be able to see it. And we had all that ready to go. So when the rock arrived on site, the artist came out there. One of the first things we showed him was, hey, we worked out these mock-ups and with LACMA and had blind fasteners set up for the bolts. He said, no, I want to see them. So we changed that. And when he set the boulder up with the gantry crane, laid it out, he decided that he wanted to rotate it from what was modeled originally and set up. So there was a ledger plate, a 3-inch diameter or 3-inch thick stainless steel ledger plate that went across on either side of the wall to hold the rock in place. When he rotated it, it ended up exposing a section of that ledger plate that was beyond where the rock was. So he wanted to cut it off. So we had a field cut, a 3-inch stainless steel plate in the field. So that way it'd flush out with the wall. But the overall experience working with the architect and the artist was just fun. It was neat to do and very unique to put this boulder in the middle of the campus, LACMA campus over there, for people to be able to see it and walk through.
Just you can walk under it, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
That was the whole point of it. In fact, yeah. The walkway itself was, and what was supporting it, was basically a mat foundation with the walls, cutoff walls on either side to allow you to walk underneath the boulder that was basically looking like it was at grade. The mat section foundation that was underneath it supporting it was built over the tar sands. So basically it's like a concrete canoe over the tar sands. And we actually had, they specified waterproofing underneath it. So we're rolling out bitumen waterproofing over the tar, which gave us a good way to cheer up the rebar so it didn't sink into the tar.
How do you build over tar sands? That seems kind of impossible.
Yeah, LaBrea tar pits are right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you exposed it, you get down to the tar sands. We rolled out bitumen waterproofing, and that gave us a stable base.
Interesting. Yeah, wow, that's really cool.
The handrails were actually integrated into the the cast-in-place walls with a channel. So we had to work out a mock-up of that, get it approved by building department and LACMA. But basically, it's a integrated channel into the wall that's the thickness of a handrail, to use it as a handrail section. So when you're looking down the slot, there's no protrusions out beyond the face of the wall.
Is this an art piece?
Like, it is.
From like a particular artist?
Heisner.
Heisner? Yeah. Okay. Very cool. Oh, great. And Dave, what about the one project that I thought was really cool is the YouTube studios that you worked on? Could you talk to us about that?
Yeah, it was a continuation of a project I originally started with Google Spruce Goose, the original building that they built the Spruce Goose, Howard Hughes did. It was right there off of Jefferson Boulevard in Culver City. And one half of the building was this fuselage. The other half was built with the wings. And then they take it at Jefferson, used to be a runway at one point, and they could fly in and out of it. And then they also had a railroad depot to it. Anyway, we did a reconstruct. We did the abatement and all of the seismic retrofit of the existing building. And then we built a 5-story building inside of that. It's all structural steel. That was for Google, for their corporate offices. It was about 780 feet long and then 5 stories tall. So it was like a horizontal high rise. Hmm. Off in the corner of the building was the sound studios. That was for YouTube. They were going to, YouTube's was across the street, and then they wanted to move their actual studio into that, into the building. So once we were done with Google, they were occupying it. We had to come up with a way of building a scaffold system with that was basically shrink wrapped, so we can keep dust out of the main building. They can keep them functioning, and also come up with a way of acoustically keeping the noise out of there, so they can, they don't have to hear us under construction.
Yeah.
So we took the sound blankets for the building that would be used internally within the soundstage, hung them on the scaffold system so that we can mitigate any sound going into Google and construct at the same time. Building was built with CMU block, 2 20,000 square foot sound stages with an adjacent studio support building next to it. Sound stages had 35,000 pound barrel trusses made out of wood from Washington. They're all fabricated in Washington, put together in Washington, bolted. Then they had to take them apart so they could transport them on a tractor trailer back to the job site. And then we reassembled them at the job site.
Mm.
Trusses were brought into the building, and between the, because it's a historical building, we had to set up a crane and then take the outer mast, that extension that's usually on the front of a crane at the top of the jib. We took that completely off, and then we had about 10 inches between the roller on the top of it where your cable comes through and the top of the building. So we set up a spotter at the top of the building on a snorkel boom to tell us how close we were getting to the historical wood structure of the building, so that when we picked up the trusses, we could be within that 10-inch zone mm-hmm. and set the trusses on to the CMU block and work our way out of there.
That sounds incredibly complicated.
It was. It was incredibly complicated.
So should talk about your elephant doors on that project.
Oh, the elephant doors. Yeah, the elephant doors are basically, it's a frame that's it's brought out, and they have a double mat of rebar in them. It's no different than a tilt-up wall. So a tilt-up is a concrete wall. You usually pour on a slab, mm-hmm. then you lift up.
Right.
But you usually have head clearance room to lift up the tilt-up mm-hmm. wall. This one, we didn't have the head clearance room. So to do the elephant doors, we're going to have to do those afterwards, after the trusses were up, because mm-hmm. that was our highest point of pick, and work our way out of there. There would be no way to lift up these elephant doors. So we come up with a scheme to shotcrete them in place. It's like a tilt-up panel. They're 8 inches thick, solid concrete. And they are 25, 30 feet in the air. And it's a tilt-up wall on rollers. So it just sits on a railroad track, moving back and forth with acoustical fabric and the concrete, which gives you your NC25 rating so that you don't hear noise between the two studios. So by the time we were done, there were 90,000 square foot. It was the first time they'd ever done a elephant door, a shot being shotcreted in place. It worked out really well.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. I mean, you know, earlier when you said you love the challenge of construction, and that's the thing too about construction, right? Is like having to develop ways that have never been done before because of necessity, right? Is really cool. You know, when you're in that.
The projects present certain problems or situations to you, and you have to figure out a way to work around those problems. So we usually just sit there and strategize. I mean, we use it as a team effort, and I'll sit there and bring everybody to the table, and we'll sit there and talk it through and figure out ways to do it. We can do models. We can do all kinds of things and try to mimic what we need to do to achieve that outcome. Normally, if you have a team of people together and we're all equally collaborating,
mm-hmm.
we can come up with a solution.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing.
And think of innovative ways to approach it and do it.
Yeah.
So that's maybe one of the things that Dave and I both got from our dad was figuring out ways to do things that people say can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now that's a challenge. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can figure out how to do it.
Yeah. That's great. And as a team, right? As in a group of willing people.
Well, usually when you're sitting at a table and you got a project team is together, mm-hmm. great ideas come from the collaboration with the team.
Yeah.
Sure.
Everybody right. starts thinking and brainstorming. By the time you finish, you're going to find a way to do something that
yeah.
nobody else has thought about.
Yeah.
That ends up being a home run for the project.
Yeah. Because like one person says one idea and it may not be totally there, but the next person like that inspires somebody and it just correct. Keeps building from there. It's yeah, that process is great. Yeah. So how long have you both been with Layton?
I've been with Layton about a year and a half now.
And I just had my first anniversary.
Oh, great. And I know that, Dan, you're working at the Element Hotel, and Dave, you're working at Dunn Edwards. But I know that you both worked on a project together in Hawaii. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hotel what project
one,
was that?
Hotel One Honolulu Bay.
Okay. Is that the only other project you've worked on?
With Layton, yes.
With Layton, yeah. Great.
Myself, also the City of Hope.
Oh, City Hope. What project? I don't know. I'm not familiar with that one.
The we have a hotel and roadwork project we're doing up there, infrastructure project too.
Hmm. Okay. Great. Do you think there will be any studio work in Layton's future?
Most certainly.
Or amusement park work?
Most certainly.
Maybe the next Colossus?
Business development is really trying yeah. right now. So, yeah, they've got a lot of irons in the fire.
Right? I love it.
They'd be fun project to do, especially in Southern California.
Oh, yeah. It'd be great.
But anywhere. I mean, building studios is fun work and amusement yeah. parks are fun work.
I can imagine. So one question that's been on my mind as we've been talking today, I see similarities between Layton and your family. You know, Layton is a family business. You're a family business. And I wonder if you see similarities between the way Layton is as a family and the way that your father and yourselves are as a, if we can call you a family business.
Well, the values and the ethics are there.
Alan Layton was in the military and he was a war veteran. Mm. So was my dad. Mm. And I mean, that's something that comes to mind. And he was in construction, tried to make a business for his and living for his family, working construction, same as yeah. Alan did. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities, I think, crossover between the sure. two of us. I mean, we're both Eagle Scouts. Oh, yeah? So yeah. We're in the Boy Scouts and we got our Eagle. So, I mean, that's another thing that I think that's the Layton's cool. are.
Yeah, as I sit here, I see, you know, I don't know that much about the Layton history. That's something that we want to explore more with this podcast. So I hope as we get into more episodes that we'll, I think we'll find some similarities, you know, but I see a lot of integrity in the stories that you tell about your father and I hear a lot of pride about your father and on the projects. And it's really been amazing to listen to your stories. And I thank you for your time and for sharing everything that you have with us today. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Welcome. Thank you.
I had a great time chatting with the Condres, and thank you, David and Daniel, for joining me. Thanks for listening to Laying the Groundwork. This is Forrest Cole, and we look forward to having you along while we discover the history and build the present of Layton Construction. See you next time.